And also so we know to recognize fools and so we can avoid them and avoid their instruction. And so, Lord, we just pray that our eyes would be open to what your scripture says about foolishness and that we could learn from your word this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's start with Proverbs 10, verse 21. And so when we talk about being a fool, I mean, in the world we kind of have the way we use the word fool now, we think, well, it's just kind of silliness, you know. Somebody's a fool if I closed my eyes and walked around the stage and fell over, you could laugh and, oh, look at that fool, you know. But we kind of think it's a harmless, kind of silly thing. That's what a fool is. But in the Bible, when God talks about foolishness, it's not talking about just plain silliness and goofiness. It's kind of harmless. I mean, a fool would do that because a fool does not know wisdom and instruction. A fool does not have that knowledge. So that would be one thing, a fool. But a fool in the Bible is a lot more than that. And it's a lot more serious than just being kind of a bumbling idiot up on stage or something. So we want to see what the Bible says about a fool. So we're going to begin with Proverbs 10:21. And this just says, the lips of the righteous feed many. And so a righteous person can talk and many people are fed by it. Okay, but fools die for want of wisdom. Not so worried about the what this proverb's saying, but this proverb's set up as a parallel thing where you have opposites, a compare and contrast. So you have the righteous, you know, do such and such, but the fool does such and such. A lot of proverbs are that way. You say, you know, a good man does this and an evil man does that. Here you can see a righteous man is compared with a fool, and they're not considered the same. These are opposites. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum. So here it's comparing righteousness with being a fool. That's not like how our world uses the word fool, because a fool can basically be good or bad. But the Bible, when it talks about a fool, is always bad. Here, it's compared to a righteous person. A fool is not righteous. Let's go to Proverbs 14, verse 9. And again, we'll see the same parallel. And that's what you love about the Proverbs. You can see, get into the mind of what God was saying here. Fools, in Proverbs 14, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Again, you have a fool compared to a righteous. Okay, so we're saying fools are not righteous. Fools are the opposite of righteous here. Okay, but fools here make a mock at sin. And so, not are they just falling around and stuff, they make a mock at sin. That's like making fun of sin. Like, oh God, you call this sin? Well, look what I'm going to do, you know. They don't maybe say that, but that's what they do. Oh God, you think this is sin? Is this wrong, God? And then they make a mock at sin. And so fools and foolishness in the Bible is not just some little trifling matter. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there's favor. And in our nation, I mean, I believe our nation, if we look across our nation, we're exalting foolishness, making a mockery of sin, and exalting people that are fools. And if you look at like the definition of fools, I mean, we'll see that a fool says there's no God. A fool's a worker of iniquity. He hates God's wisdom and instruction. And that's basically what we're being told now is how we run our country. I don't believe that's what our country was built on, but now the people would say there's no place for God in government. We're going to run our government without God. And so now it's basically, that's what we're told, is that separation of church and state is what we're told. And so now we are running a government based on foolishness, making a mock at sin. There is no sin. There's no right and wrong. It's just, you know, whatever we vote. And we're trying to do it without God, saying there is no God. That's what a fool says. So our world, our nation, is being built on foolishness, making a mock at sin. And look what it says in Proverbs 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. So a nation is exalted when the nation is full of righteous people doing righteous things, doing what God wants them to do. A nation's exalted, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, sometimes God will raise up kingdoms, the kingdom of Babylon and stuff, where it wasn't a righteous nation. So just because the nation's exalted doesn't mean they're righteous. But if a nation is righteous, it will be exalted. And that's where our nation, the United States, was founded on. Founded on biblical principles. Founded on right and wrong and that there is God in government. But now we're getting away from that. And sin is a reproach to any people. And that's why there's a fight to try to get, you know, our country back to its biblical roots. Because righteousness exalts a nation. As a nation, do we glorify sin? Which sin, you know, making a mock at sin, that's foolishness. And so I think we do. We glorify sin and foolishness. I just got on the internet and just said most popular TV shows, right? And typed it in. It was TV.com, which I don't think is a big web. But they brought up these different things. The number one show was Vampire Diaries. They have Vampire Diaries. Vampires, I mean, if you look around, I mean, young people, I mean, wouldn't you say there's a lot of people reading vampire novels and stuff? I mean, you get people with, you know, they dress in black. They got pale faces with bright red lips, you know. Vampire. I mean, you see that all Walmart, everywhere. And so that's the number one show, these vampires. And they all look the same, whether it's Moonlight or whatever, Twilight and all these different things. They're all knockoffs, but that vampire stuff's huge. That's the number one show, Vampire Diaries. Vampires eat blood. Human blood is what the vampire is, I guess. So in Acts 15, when they were deciding, you know, Paul was saying, we Gentiles, you know, the Gentiles, we don't have to keep the Jewish law, the dietary requirements and the sacrifices. And they had a conference in Jerusalem. And they said, yes, you're right, we don't have to do any of that. But don't eat food sacrificed to idols. And don't abstain from blood. Don't eat blood. They weren't to eat the blood of an animal, eat that. This isn't even the blood of an animal. This is blood of people. And so this is making a mockery. That's the number one show, it's Vampire Diaries. Below that, there was a article on this show that shows right after it called The Secret Circle or something. And it's about, I heard about their Valentine's Day episode where one girl's a witch. And in this episode, she said there's a witch, there's a Ouija board, and demon possession. It's just so much fun. And this person loved, they said, what do you like playing better, a demon-possessed girl or one on drugs? She said, oh, demon-possessed. Just how much fun it was. I mean, we're making a mock at sin. The Bible says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. If we were under God's law, we wouldn't suffer a witch to live, but now it's just fun and games. And the fifth show was Merlin, and it was some adventures of this sorcerer guy, you know, a wizard back in the time of King Arthur. But the Bible definitely talks about being wizards or witches or sorcery. The Bible says in time to come in Revelation chapter 9, and I believe also in 17, that people would not repent of their thefts and of their sorceries, of their fornications. That's one of the things people would not repent of. But just those things, looking across just our entertainment, I mean, we exalt sin. We make a joke of it, and we glorify it, and it's foolish. It's foolishness because fools make a mock at sin. And we as a nation love that. We love exalting foolishness as a nation. Ecclesiastes, let's turn there real quick. The next book after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes was written by who? Solomon. Who wrote Proverbs? Solomon, same book, both of them by the wisest man that ever lived, both of them inspired by God. So Ecclesiastes 10, verses 5 and 6. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. So there's something evil. As an error which proceedeth from the ruler. So this comes down from the government. It says folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. So folly is exalted. Foolishness is exalted, and it comes from the government. And that's where we're at today, are we not? Our government says, we cannot bring God into government. We have to take God out of this, God out of that. That's foolishness, saying there is no God. It begins with the ruler, and now foolishness is exalted. There's men like, you know, Richard Dawkins and these people that are atheists, and that's what people exalt. Those guys are wise, and that's, you know, you're wise if you believe those things. That's exalting folly. And the Bible says that is an evil that's under the sun, and that's what we're at as a nation right now. So as Christians, I mean, we need to know the truth. We need to know that what is foolish and what's not. We need to depart from those things that are foolish. And so we need to learn these things. What makes a fool? What defines a fool? What are the characteristics of a fool? Because we want to be able to not be a fool ourselves. And if we have some things that we're doing that a fool would do, we repent of that and we turn from it. We want to raise children that are not fools. And we have to know what God says about behavior. What becometh a fool and what becometh a righteous person. And then we also need to know, be able to recognize a fool in our life so we can depart from them. We're not under their instruction. We're not, you know, walking with them. And so we really need to know this, what God says about being a fool. What makes one a fool? Let's go to the book of Psalms real quick. Psalm 5, verse 5. Psalm 5, verse 5. So we're staying right in Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Very easy. So Psalms, most of the Psalms were written by David, the father of Solomon, right? We're keeping it in the family here, learning about the wisdom from his family there. Psalm 5, verse 5. It says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. The foolish people will not stand in God's sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. So here it's saying that the foolish are workers of iniquity. The fools aren't going to stand in your sight because you hate all these workers of iniquity. So we see that fools are workers of iniquity. And when it talks about not standing in his sight, if you go back just a few chapters, Psalm 1, when it says the fools will not stand in thy sight, what's that mean? Well, let's look at Psalm 1, verse 5. It says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So when it talks about standing, it's talking about standing in the day of judgment and passing, you know, not being condemned. It says the foolish will not stand before God, for God hates all the workers of iniquity. So foolishness is not just, you know, messing around, just funny, you know, just kind of a goofball. Foolishness God hates. It's a worker of iniquity. Let's go next to Psalm 14, verse 1. And I've quoted this verse a few times already. It's mentioned twice in the Psalms. Psalm 14, verse 1. We want to define a fool. And here it tells us, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So a fool is a worker of iniquity. A fool says there is no God. Let's go now to go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Find out more about defining a fool. What makes a fool? And then we'll look at the characteristics of a fool. But Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right there we see fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to learn, and they don't want to learn from God. They don't want to learn God's wisdom and instruction. The world's wisdom, sure. But not the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise that. They say in their heart there is no God, and they don't want anything to do with God's wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, let's go to chapter 1, verse 22. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Fools, they don't care. They despise wisdom and instruction. They hate knowledge. Let's look at Proverbs 28, verse 26. So fools hate knowledge. They despise wisdom and instruction. They say in their heart, there is no God. They will not stand. They're a worker of iniquity. They will not stand in the judgment. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Another way to define a fool. A fool, Proverbs 28, 26 says, a fool trusteth in his own heart. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So a fool, he's not trusting in God. He's not in all his ways acknowledging God and God directing his path. He's trusting in himself because he says there is no God. He doesn't care about God's wisdom and instruction. He hates knowledge, and so he trusts in his own heart. Okay, so that's the definition of a fool that we're going to use. In Webster's dictionary, if you go to that, Webster's 1828 dictionary says, in Scripture, fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God. And so it's basically the same definition. They say there is no God, they despise wisdom and instruction, and they're wicked, they're depraved. So foolishness, according to the Bible, is serious. God has no pleasure in foolishness, we'll read after a while. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4, verse 13. Because one other thing about fools, is we would think, well, a foolish would be a young man. You know, like we could see a young man might be foolish, maybe a young woman foolish, but we grow out of foolishness. And age represents wisdom, but that's not the case. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. It says, better is a poor and a wise child. So a child can be poor and wise. Somebody can be poor and they can be wise. A child can be wise, right? Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. So somebody can be old and be foolish. Somebody can be a king and be rich and be foolish. So we can't look at their lot in life. We can't look at their age. And we can't look at if they're rich or poor to know if it's a fool. That's not a characteristic because God, He brings the rain on the just and the unjust. And we'll see another verse that He gives, you know, money. He gives success to even fools. So we can't look at their lot in life or their age. We have to look at what they say and how they act. That's how we know a fool. All right, so A fool says there's no God. He's a worker of iniquity. He hates God's wisdom, instruction, and knowledge. He trusts in his own heart, and he makes a mock at sin. Those are the definition. That's the definition of a fool, God's definition. So now let's see some characteristics of a fool, some things a fool will do in life. And when we look at these things, we'll first look at ourselves and say, is this characteristic of me? If so, I need to repent of these things. I need to get them out of my life because I do not want to be a fool. God has no pleasure in fools. Second, as parents, we can raise our kids to follow the righteous way. And that's what God's going to tell us, pretty black and white. This is what I want. This is bad. This is good. This is bad. And it's not a tough thing. And thirdly, we want to be able to recognize fools in our life. Ashley and I were just talking about, you know, reading books and stuff. If it's written from somebody that's a fool, according to the Bible, should we receive that instruction and knowledge and listen to that? And so we need to know if somebody's a fool, according to the Bible, what we do with that. And the Bible's going to say to depart from them. You know? All right, so let's look at some characteristics. Proverbs chapter 1 again. So we're just going to start in chapter 1 and go through the book of Proverbs. I'm not picking everything that talks about fools because we'd be here for a long time. But some of them kind of repeat themselves. We're just going to hit the ones that tell us the characteristics of a fool. Proverbs 1 verse 7 again says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So fools, you know, they will despise God's wisdom and instruction. They do not fear the Lord. We understand that. That's a characteristic. Proverbs 1 verse 32. Proverbs 1 verse 32 says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." So fools can have prosperity. That's another characteristic. We can't judge them off if they're prosperous or if they're poor. Fools can be prosperous. We see that from that verse. There's more we can get, but I'm just taking a simple nugget that we can take. Fools can be prosperous. Let's go to Proverbs 9. All those chapters we're skipping over have a lot about the strange woman, but we already covered that. So, and a fool would be taken in by a strange woman. But let's go to Proverbs 9, verse 13. Proverbs 9, verse 13 says, "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing." So a foolish woman is loud, obnoxious, clamorous, making a lot of clamor, making a lot of noise. And so now we see a characteristic of a foolish woman is clamorous, is loud. So we need to think, ladies, does this describe me? We shouldn't be known as, oh, that's she's that loud woman, you know? Because the Bible says a foolish woman is loud, is clamorous. Let's go to Proverbs 10, verse 18. And all of us know people like that too, and we need to say, all right, is this a pattern in her life, or is this just something, a sin that she needs to get over, you know? We need to think on these things. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Another characteristic of a fool, it says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." All right, so first of all, the person hides his hatred. He's talking to you. If I'm talking to Rich and I really have something against it, I don't like Rich. But to his face, I'm like, "Hey, Rich, how are you doing?" You know, I'm hiding. I have lying lips. I'm hiding my hatred to Rich. But then, what do? Then I uttereth a slander. As soon as he's gone, I slander him. I'm a backbiter, right? I talk behind somebody's back. It says if somebody does that, if they'll be, you know, two-faced, nice to your face, and they're saying good words, and they're hiding their lying with smiling lips, and then they turn around and stab you in the back, that person is a fool. We know people like that in our lives. We've done that before in our lives. We need to, that's a sin. That's foolish. We need to make sure that does not describe us. And if there's people in our lives that do that, if that's their characteristic, they are a fool, the Bible says. If you do that, if you stab people in the back, you're a fool. And so we need to know that and recognize that in our children. We need to raise them up so they know that's wrong. If we recognize that and that, we punish that. We'll see what you do with fools. We have to correct that right away. All right. So, they're two-faced. Proverbs 10, verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. You know, sport, you're just having fun. It's a game. And to a fool, doing mischief is sport. And mischief, we kind of think now is kind of harmless stuff, but mischief, really the definition is that you are doing harm, you're hurting somebody else's property or them themselves. It's not harmless to, you know, vandalize or to do stuff. But to a fool, oh, it's just game. It's just a sport, right? And so a fool, they're making a mock at sin. And a fool, it's just a sport to have fun. And they're going to go out on Friday night and they're going to do something, you know, they'll do something wrong, they'll do some mischief, and that's fun. The Bible says that's a fool. The Bible says that's a fool. So we need to know that. We need to know not to do that ourselves and to recognize that in others, because we are not to hang around foolish people. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." So this, I mean, all of us can listen to this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. He always thinks he's right. He knows the answer. He knows what. He doesn't need anybody else's opinion. But somebody that's wise listens to other people's counsel, and he listens and weighs it. I mean, a wise person, you would think the wise person wouldn't need to listen to anybody else. But God says it's the wise that listens to other people, and we can weigh their counsel, and we can, you know, test it versus the Word of God and see if it holds truth or not. But a foolish person just, I know this. I know this. You know, I don't need anybody's counsel. And so we don't have to be all prideful and all these things. We should listen to counsel, and we should not think that we know it all. But a fool is a know-it-all. He's right in his own eyes. Verse 16. Another thing that we can easily fall into. Look at ourselves in this. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. If a fool, if he's angry, if something, you know, he thinks he's been wrong, you're going to know it right away. He's going to be loud. He's going to be upset. He's going to come, be quick to wrath. A fool does that. You'll know he's angry. He's going to be, you know, he'll let you know. But a prudent man covereth. He keeps it in, okay, goes back and weighs it, cools down, thinks about this stuff, you know, examines it, talks to God, not just quick to anger. He's slow to anger, slow to wrath. So that's a prudent man, but a foolish man, just they erupt, you know, they're easily angered. You got all these anger control, anger management classes. We say that's, well, he just has anger control issues, and maybe that's a sin. You know, it's not a sin, it's just something that's in him, and he needs to work it out through counseling. The Bible says, no, that's a fool, it's sin. It's not anger management, it's just sin, and we need to conquer that, because all of us would like to be angry and just do whatever we want all the time, but a prudent man covereth that. And then come back, and as a Christian, if you feel somebody's sinned against you, if I feel that Rich has sinned against me, once I've, you know, I know this, I come and say, Rich, I believe you sinned against me here, and we work it out, as we're going to see. That's a wise way to do it, but a fool just yells and cusses and does all this stuff and blows up. He's quick to wrath. All right, so he's quick to anger and lets it be known. Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 19. We all know people like that, don't we? And the Bible says that's foolish. That's a characteristic of a fool. Proverbs 13, verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So if you set a goal, you desire it, when you accomplish that, that's a good feeling. Just a fact, the Bible says. When you plant that corn in the spring and you harvest it in the fall, it's a good feeling to get it in the barn. You know, desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. But it says here, but it's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. I mean, fools, they love their evil. The way we love accomplishing things, and that's a healthy way to have that. Fools, they love their evil, and it's an abomination. They would hate to have to leave their evil. They love it so much. So fools love evil. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Proverbs 14, 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." So carpenters should all be women. No. She builds her house. You know, she builds her family. She invests in her family. That's a wise woman. She's working on her family. She's building that because the Bible says that when the children rise up, they will call her blessed. That's a wise woman. She's building for the future. She's building for many days of happiness with her family and her extended family and grandchildren. She builds her house, but a foolish woman plucketh it down. And many times, in the world today, we have many women that are pushed into being a foolish woman and plucking down their house. Maybe they're not happy in their marriage right then. Maybe he's not doing right then. But they say, you know, you got to leave him. You got to stand up for your rights. That's foolish. She plucks down her house, and it ruins, you know, their family. It breaks up a family, breaks up these things. There's a divorce. She breaks down and tears down her house. A foolish woman does that. A wise woman would go to the Scriptures, and she would be a helper, and she'd help her husband. And she can win her husband. She can win his love, affection. She can win him even just through her conduct. So a wise woman goes to the Scriptures. The foolish just tears down her house. Says, I've had enough. I'm out of here, right? And tears down her house. But a wise woman builds her house. Do we understand that? Verse 9. We already looked at that. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. If there's people that you're around, if you find yourself doing that, that's sin. To laugh at sin, to think it's funny when sin takes place. 14, verse 16. Verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Who's the wise man fearing? God. A wise man feareth and departs from evil. Okay, so that's a wise man. He understands. He fears God. That's the beginning of wisdom and instruction. He fears God. He departs from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. He's raging against the same man that the other guy feared. He rages against God. He is mad against God. And he's confident in himself. You know, like, who are you, God, to tell me what to do? Who are you to lay down this law and try to, you're just trying to be a dictator, and he's confident in himself. That's a fool. To rage at God and be confident of yourself before God, but a wise man feareth and departs from evil. Let's go to verse 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. So a wise man that understands, a lot of times he might be the quietest man or woman in the room. Right? He's got the wisdom. But he's not out there spouting at everybody, telling everybody what they need to do. It rests in his heart. He has understanding. But look at the foolish. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Whatever in the heart or whatever in the mind, and it's coming right out. A fool just speaks his mind right away. There's no filter. He's not sitting there waiting and thinking. He's just spouting stuff. And so fools, whatever they're thinking, they just make it known. But a wise man that has understanding, it can stay in his heart. So there needs to be some wisdom. We need to pray for this and think. It's not the loudest person. It's not the one who talks the most. That's the wisest, according to God. All right, let's go to 15, verse 2. It's along the same lines. Proverbs 15, verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. See, a lot of it's a fool can be known by their mouth. We, our foolishness will be known by our mouth. Think about what we say. Think about what our kids say. We can recognize foolishness by our mouths. A fool is going to just speak it. Foolishness pours out, but a wise person uses his knowledge right. 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. And that's fools. They don't want instruction. They don't want reproof. They don't want to be told what to do by their father, by their mother, by their teacher, by God, by the cops. They just hate it. They despise instruction. They despise reproof. But it says, a wise man, he that regardeth reproof, is prudent. If somebody comes and says, here, listen, you know, Lee, I think you messed up. I think you sinned, and I think you need to take this. I think it was wrong what you did. You know, a foolish man would say, oh, you can't tell me what to do, and you're wrong, and just get mad at the person. But a wise person will regard that reproof and test it versus the Word of God and react accordingly. So we can't just be all puffed up in ourselves and just think we're right all the time. That's foolish. Wisdom listens to what other people say and test it versus the Word of God. We cannot hate instruction. Verse 14. Proverbs 15, verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. So if somebody has understanding, they're still seeking more knowledge. They're not saying, I know it all. An understanding person, the one with wisdom, seeks more knowledge. But what does the fool do? The mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. It doesn't want any of true wisdom, of God's wisdom, of godly wisdom. It just wants to feed on foolishness. It wants to go to that trough of foolishness. That's the only thing that it wants to feed on. Go to chapter 16, verse 22. Chapter 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. So if you have understanding, I mean, it's going to bring life to you. You're going to know more about life. You're going to understand God more. You're going to go to his word for understanding. But it says, but the instruction of fools is folly. The instruction of fools is folly. And so this, if we can recognize that somebody's a fool and they're trying to give instruction, their instruction is foolishness. And so we got to consider the source when we get things. And we were just talking about that, my wife and I, right? She was reading a book, and this person that's writing this book was a fool. They do not fear God, right? And so the instruction in that book, how much is that worth? I say the instruction of fools is folly. So all of us, we need to listen, you know, the source matters. We need to consider the persons, consider what they say, and just if somebody's blaspheming God, if somebody's, you know, doing all these things, we don't say, well, I just want this part. No, the instruction of fools is folly. Let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 7. Proverbs 17, verse 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. You've all heard people try to use big words that they don't even know what they mean? And it makes them look foolish, right? So a fool tries to use great words and tries to act all smart, try to be something they're not, basically. Try to deceive somebody into thinking they know more than they do. That's what a fool does. They try to use these great words and try to impress with their words. High-sounding words, and it says, much less do lying lips a prince. It's like a prince that lies. It's not good. All right, let's go to verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A wise man can be told, this is wrong, you messed up, I think you sinned against so-and-so, I think you were wrong here. And a wise man will listen to that, just one reproof. But a fool, 100 stripes across the back, 100 whips across the back, doesn't do any damage, doesn't make any change. They hate instruction anyway, and they think they know it all. That's a fool. Verse 24. Now let's go to verse 12 first. Verse 12. They get kind of more interesting as we go here. Like here, let a bear be robbed of her whelps, meet a man. So, can you imagine taking a mama bear's cubs, and then you meet her? What's she going to be? Dangerous. She's going to be protective. She's angry. But it's going to be dangerous to meet a mama bear that's been robbed of her cubs. And here it says, you'd rather meet that than a fool in his folly. And so a mama bear robbed of her cubs is dangerous, but a fool in his folly is even more dangerous. So foolishness and being involved with fools is dangerous. It's not something to mess around with. You don't mess around with a mama bear robbed of her cubs. Let's go to verse 24. Chapter 17, verse 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding. So a wise person, they can learn. If they have understanding, if somebody has understanding, they can gain wisdom by watching others. It's before their eyes. They can learn from watching. They can learn from seeing. They can learn from hearing. They can take and learn wisdom from all kinds of situations. It's before him that hath understanding, wisdom is. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. So the foolish man, now, he's not learning from what he's seeing. He's not learning from somebody else's mistakes. He's not learning from his father telling him this and showing him this. His eyes are everywhere. They're at the ends of the world. They're looking here and there. He's daydreaming. He knows it all already. I mean, when I was a young man, I mean, my dad was a good carpenter, did stuff. And, you know, I thought every way he did it, I thought I knew a better way. You know, if he'd say, this is the way you put up a header over a door, I'd be like, why would they do that? You know, there's a code. Now, I mean, people know what they're doing. But I thought, that's stupid. So I didn't pay attention to my dad at all. You know, I could have learned so much, but I despised it. My eyes were in the ends of the earth. I didn't listen to what he said, and so I don't know a lot. So my brother, my younger brother, he would follow and listen to my dad, so he knew a lot of stuff. And it wasn't until I was older that I actually paid attention to what my dad does, and I can learn it then. But, I mean, there's wisdom in that. But a foolish man, just his eyes are everywhere, he's daydreaming, doesn't care what somebody else has to say. I can't learn from them. I know it all anyway. And that was in my heart, you know. I was right in my own eyes. So, we see a fool there. Proverbs 18, verse 6. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool loves to argue. A fool loves contention. A fool loves strife. Somebody that just loves to argue, foolish. They love contention. They like to enter into that. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 7, the next one. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So again, really, how many of these things do we see that a fool is known by his mouth, by what he says? That's how we judge a fool, is by his lips, by his walk and his talk, by his talk and his walk, right? Not by if he's rich or poor, if he's young or old. It's by what he says and what he does. All right, let's continue on. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Along the same lines of somebody loving contention, a fool loves contention. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You know, if me and Dave, we have a problem, it's an honor for me or him to get it settled. You know, to have peace between us and have an understanding, and we've asked forgiveness, we've forgiven, we've got that settled, we've ceased from strife, but every fool will be meddling. A fool's going to like that strife and like that contention and just keep it going. And 10 years later, they're saying, Dave, you still did that to me. And it's still in their heart. They're still bringing it up. And they still like to meddle with other people as well because they like the strife. But it's an honor for a man to cease from that. They not keep that pot stirred. 21, verse 20. Another thing a foolish man would do, and we can recognize these things. We can see it in ourselves, see it in our kids, see it in others. Proverbs 21, verse 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. So a wise person will have things stored up. Right? They'll save. They'll have treasure and they'll have oil because they save. But a foolish man spendeth it up. Kind of goes into last week talking about money, but a foolish person just spends up their savings. If they have it, they spend it. That's foolish. Proverbs 26. 26. Verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. So sending a message by the hand of a fool is like cutting off your feet and drinking like poison or something that's going to hurt you, cause damage to you. So you don't want to send a message by the hand of a fool. Why? Can't be trusted. If you know a person's a fool, don't trust them with something important. So this is just wisdom for us. If we know somebody exhibits these things of a fool, we know he's a fool. Don't send an important message. Don't trust them on those kind of things. 26 verse 7. The legs of the lame are not equal. You can think of a lame person. Now we could probably do things to fix this, but where their legs are maybe different lengths. Or what, they don't have a leg. You know, they've had it amputated. Their legs aren't equal. They're different lengths. It says, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. You know, you can tell him the parable, there's one meaning to it, but now that it's in his mouth, it's going to come out, it's something different. Pervert that parable, right? Now it says something totally different. So a parable is supposed to be a story to help you. It's given to a fool and he perverts it, he changes it. What goes in is not the same as comes out. They're not equal. Just like the legs of the lame are not equal. Verse 9, the same kind of thing. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. You know, a parable, taking the word of God even, taking something like that, and it's in the mouth of fools, it can be perverted and cause damage, like a thorn going up into a hand. Verse 10 tells us this, and I alluded to this earlier, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. That's why we can't look at God's remind us, we can't look at his life and say, well, that guy's living in a mansion, he must not be a fool. You can be a fool. You can be president and be a fool. We can't judge their age. We can't judge their social, you know, status. That's not what makes a fool or a wise man. Verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Makes the same mistake over and over. Doesn't learn. He knows it all anyway. Being a fool myself at one time, I mean, if it went wrong, I'd do the same thing because I think, well, that wasn't my fault, and I'm still right. It'll work the next time, right? Because you think you're right in your own eyes all the time. So it doesn't matter. You can be shown 100 times. It doesn't matter. Let's go to 27 verse 3. 27 verse 3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty. I mean, sand is dense. A stone is dense. Things are heavy. But a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Remember we said it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. A wise man, a godly man, well, he's not going to hold a grudge and he's going to get that thing that's a problem, he's going to get it fixed and cease from strife. But a fool is going to keep that going. He's going to meddle and keep it going. And so you have a fool's wrath on you, it's going to keep on you. It's heavy. It's going to keep weighing on you because it's a fool. He will not cease from strife. He continues to meddle with it. And so here a fool's wrath is heavy. Proverbs 27, verse 22. Looks at again, trying to discipline, trying to show and reprove and, you know, a fool, it just, a fool does, not much gets through to him. Verse 22, 27, verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. In chemistry, we use mortar and pestles to grind up, you know, things into powder, into a fine powder, a bowl and something you can jam it with. Okay, you could do wheat and make it into flour. Here, even if you put a fool in there and just ground him up, it doesn't matter. It says, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. They hang on to their foolishness. It's an abomination you know, to cease from sin. They want to hang on to their foolishness. And again, we're not talking just, you know, little frivolity, little goofiness. We're talking not believing in God, not saying there is no God, making a mock at sin. They will hang on to this as a fool. 27 verse 22, that's where we were at. Let's go to 29 verse 11. This is the last characteristic we're looking at. And this kind of sums up what we said a lot about a fool's mouth. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So this is how we can teach our children. I mean, a fool utters all his mind and just says it, has no filter, has nothing, just his loud mouth and says it, doesn't think about it, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. The Bible says somewhere in Proverbs that even a fool can be seen as wise if he just shuts his mouth. You know, if you're in a meeting or something, there's some person that never says something, you're going to think, well, that person's probably pretty wise, people think. When you speak, then people know you're a fool, you know. So they say, you know, even a fool, if he just is quiet, people will think he's smart. People will think he's wise. All right, so we know how to recognize, we know what a fool is. We know how to recognize fools. We know a lot of characteristics of foolish people. What do we do with foolish people? What should we do with fools? Let's go back to Proverbs 9. And I was just getting ready to say young people. I mean, this really deals with you because there's a lot of foolish young people, but I just said, we can't tell by the age. There's a lot of foolish old people, isn't there? In a word, I mean, that's still, I still think these things. There's a lot of foolish young people, but there's a lot of foolish old people. And so this applies to every one of us. Proverbs 9, verse 6 says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So if you want to live, you need to forsake the foolish. What's it mean to forsake? You leave it. So we need to leave the foolish, get away from the foolish, so we can live. Proverbs 9, verse 6. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Let's go to Proverbs 13, verse 20. That says, forsake the foolish. So many of us have people maybe we talk to, we are friends with, and I mean, we want to be friendly. We want to do things, but if we're, you know, being companions with them, we need to forsake a foolish person. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We're talking about they have to be godly men. If you walk with godly people, that's what God wants. That's why we yoke ourselves together with godly people. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We're not to be companions with fools. Once we recognize somebody's a fool, through their lips and through what they do, we're not a companion. We forsake them. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Proverbs 14, verse 7 backs this up again. What do we do with fools? It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You perceive it, we don't need to hang around. Go from them. Forsake them. Don't be companions with fools. Very clear what God says about fools. Okay, Proverbs 19, verse 10. And again, a fool is somebody that makes a mock at sin. A fool is somebody that says they will not leave that sin. Proverbs 19, verse 10 says, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Delight is not seemly. It's not right. It doesn't fit for a fool to have delight, for us to delight a fool, to honor them, to give good things to them, right? To delight them. And we're talking about those that make a mock at sin, but our world does delight fools. I mean, there's these movies. I mean, I think they're called jackass movies is what they're called. They're just, people are just idiots, right? And they just sin all the time. They're just crazy, but they're being honored because people buy their stuff and people go to them. They're being honored. They're being delighted. I mean, how many movies do we have all this stuff where people are, the movies make a mock at God's law and sin, yet we give them delight. They'll get rich off this stuff. Because even Christians support their stuff. We should not honor it. Delight is not seemly for a fool. For our children, as parents, you know, we don't laugh at foolishness. We laugh at sin and do this kind of, no. We shouldn't delight in that. Say, oh, that's cute. No. We should correct it. So this is very good for us to know what to do with our kids when they exhibit foolish behavior. We correct it. We don't delight in it. We don't give them delight in it. We don't laugh at them. We don't encourage it. Proverbs 19, verse 29. Says, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. If our nation was built on God's principles, then we would punish foolishness. We would punish people that make a mock at sin. it would be punished. Right? We don't have that, and we don't have that in our nation right now. People can live in sin, do a lot of sin, and it's not punished. But in our houses, we can do that. We wouldn't, you know, allow this. There would be punishment for sin. We reward righteousness, and we punish sin. We chastise, as we talked about this morning, our sons and daughters, because they're our sons and daughters, because we love them. Okay, so we should correct foolishness. Proverbs 26, verse 1. What should we do with fools? We forsake them. We leave them. We don't have companionship with them. We leave the presence of them. We don't give them honor. We don't give them delight. We don't make them rich. We don't, you know, exalt them. They should be corrected. Proverbs 26, verse 1 tells us, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Those other things aren't right. It shouldn't snow in the summer. We shouldn't have rain in harvest if things were good. That's not right. We want to get out in the fields and harvest. So honor is not seemly for a fool. It's not good for a fool to have honor. And in our world today, again, I'm saying, I don't know if you know a man, Richard Dawkins, but a guy that's like the number one atheist guy, you know, talks in an English accent and has this, and he is honored. I mean, is seen as a very bright man, but not seemly. He's a fool because he says there is no God. He makes a mock at God's law and God's sin. So we should not honor foolishness. Proverbs 26, verse 8. This is a good one. Once you get in the 20s, they get harder to figure out, but they're pretty good when you get them. So, Proverbs 26, verse 8 says this, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. So if we're going to exalt a fool and give him honor and make him rich, and, you know, glorify him in his foolishness, in his whatever it is that makes him a fool, we give him honor. That's like binding a stone in a sling. Can you imagine David, if he had that sling and he got ready to sling it at Goliath, but he, before he had bound it in his sling, he lets it go and it comes right back and bam, hits him in the head, right? I mean, it could, you're binding that, you think you're going to get it go, but you come and hurt yourself. You can hurt yourself by honoring a fool. At the very least, when he throws that thing, it's not going to go out of the sling. It's not going to work. It performs no purpose, right? And so, we don't want to honor fools. Don't give honor to a fool. Don't give honor to your children's foolishness, to other people's foolishness. Don't laugh at it. Don't honor it. Don't, you know, make it seem cool and neat. If it's mocking sin, if it's foolishness, we don't. God doesn't take any delight in it. We shouldn't either. Okay, verse 5. Verse 4, actually. Proverbs 26, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Very next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own consent. So we're given these two verses, right? They say the exact opposite. One says, answer not a fool according to his folly. The next one says, answer him. So what do? We not answer him? Answer him? And we know God wrote this on purpose. It's not contradictory, so we just got to figure out what he means here. And I believe this means we do not debate a fool. We don't, and we'll look at this, but we don't debate. We need to answer a fool. You know, somebody said, there's no God in this kind of stuff. We can give him. We can be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason for the hope that lies within us. As Christians, we want to be able to give an answer and defend our faith. Say, this is why I believe it. This is the gospel. This is the truth. We're not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. Right? So we're not ashamed. We don't hide from that. We say the truth, and the truth is not afraid of any lie. So we're able to answer a fool. Okay, lest he be wise in his own conceits. But if he wants to debate and he wants to bring us down so that we're like him, in verse 4 it says, so that you'll be like unto him. If he wants to bring you down to that level and you're talking and you're in this debate back and forth and it's become, you know, you're down on his level and that foolish level and you're becoming foolish and those kind of things, don't answer. We don't have to debate a fool. We can answer him, tell him the truth in love, but we don't have to debate. The Bible talks about this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus said, Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So we know the pearls is the gospel. It's the word of God. It's Jesus Christ. But if somebody's going to turn those things in, we know they twist scripture and they don't care about it. They make a mock at sin. They make a mock at God. They don't care about blaspheming God at all. That's the kind of way they're talking. They're not seriously wanting to know if God exists. Seriously wanting to know. But they're going to turn again and rend you. You don't cast that which is holy before the dogs. Don't cast ye your pearls before swine. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest ye be like him and you get involved in that muck and that mire. So I believe there, when you put those two together, it tells us to answer them But then don't keep answering and don't keep getting down and becoming like him. So we don't need to debate and engage a fool. Because if we engage a fool, we get in this. Let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 9. If we engage and we get in this, and Proverbs 29, 9 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man. So now they're debating. They're contending with each other. A wise man with a foolish. Whether he rage or laugh, there's no rest. So whether the foolish man, whether he's angry, whether he's laughing at you, there's no rest. He's not going to get anywhere. It's never going to be done. There's no rest to that argument. Because the man doesn't want to know God. You know. And I think we can tell that if somebody's honestly has questions, we have an answer. Or if somebody's just, you know, trampling the Word of God, trampling God, blaspheming God, not caring anything about God. So we need to speak the truth in love. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't cast your pearls before swine. So now we know what to do with fools. We know that a fool is something serious. We know a bunch of characteristics of the fools. We know that we're not to be companions with fools. We turn from them. We go. What's going to happen to fools? We know in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4, if we're going to turn there very quickly, getting ready to wrap up here. This is our last thing. What will happen to fools according to the Bible? Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 says, when thou, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. If you say you're going to do it before God, you make a vow before God, fulfill that vow. For he hath no pleasure in fools. God has no pleasure in fools. One vow we always make is a marriage vow, isn't it? We make a vow before God, we should fulfill that vow. You're a fool not to. You're a fool if you pluck down your own house. But God says here, he has no pleasure in fools. So we know that. God has no pleasure in fools. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. What's going to be the result, the end result of a fool? What's the end of a fool? That's what we're asking. We know God has no pleasure in fools. He doesn't think it's funny. Proverbs 3, verse 35. Proverbs 3, verse 35. Says, the wise shall inherit glory. Does that mean people with high IQ are going to heaven? No. The wise, and everything we've been looking at, the wise and the righteous, those are ones that fear God and they obey Him, which for us is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So the wise will inherit glory. They're going to heaven. We're not talking IQ. We're talking they're wise because they fear God. They're going to heaven, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So when they're promoted from this world, they go to the next level, right? After this world, they're going to shame, which we all know shame is not heaven. There's only two places to go. Shame would be going to hell. So fools will be promoted. After this life, they'll move on to hell. Proverbs 9, verse 6. We've looked at this once before, telling us what to do with fools. If we recognize somebody's a fool, it says, forsake the foolish. We leave the foolish and live. So what's that mean? If we forsake the foolish and live, what's it mean if we stay with the foolish? We will die. We're just like we saw back in 335, that they'll be promoted unto shame. The foolish will die. When the Bible talks about death, it's talking about natural death, but also the second death, the lake of fire. So forsake the foolish and live. Then so that, I mean, the Bible says that, you know, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. So we're walking down here. There's a bunch of fools going down for destruction. But it says that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life. We need to forsake this long way, this wide way, where everybody's going, and we follow the narrow way. And that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So we need to forsake the foolish that are headed for destruction and go towards God. Go towards Jesus Christ. Believe on Him, and thou shalt be saved. Let's go to Proverbs 10, verse 21. What happens to the fools? The Bible says in Proverbs 10, 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Again, fools die. They die for lack of wisdom. And again, wisdom is an IQ. Wisdom begins with fearing God. They don't know God. They don't fear God. They die. The wages of sin is death. And finally, let's go back to Psalm 5. We'll end there. Psalm 5, verse 5. Psalm 5, verse 5 says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. The foolish will not stand. And we saw in Proverbs 1, verses 5 and 6, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, neither sinners in the congregation of the righteous, For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so fools will not stand. They will perish. They will not stand in the judgment, will not stand before God. So we can spot a fool by his words and by his actions, not by his lot in life, not by his age. We're not to give fools honor. We shouldn't give fools our money. We shouldn't give fools our honor and our vote and all these kind of things either. We don't give them honor. And when we see things in ourselves that we see that God talks about, especially with our mouth, you know, how we're speaking up when we're a loud mouth, we're clamorous, we're these kind of things, we need to repent of that. We need to turn from that. Because that's sin. And God has no pleasure in foolishness. Okay, and while the world around us does make a mock at sin, the world around us does exalt foolishness. Okay, we as Christians need to stand firm on the Word of God. We don't go down this wide path with everybody else just laughing at every joke and doing everything they do. We turn and go down the narrow way and follow what God says, and we stand firm on the Word of God. We can rebuke foolishness. We rebuke it in love. We speak the truth in love, and we separate from foolishness, and we live. Forsake the foolish and live. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to do this tonight. Help us to recognize foolishness in our own life. Help us to recognize foolishness in our children, and that we can turn from that, we can rebuke that we can get that out of our lives. Anything that's characteristic of an unsaved, ungodly person, Lord, help us to do that. And also, Lord, help us in our lives and our associations and the things we watch, the things we listen to, the people we vote for, all these things, to recognize foolishness, to recognize having pleasure in sin and not turning from sin and saying there is no God and not despising wisdom and instruction, Lord. Help us to recognize those things and to turn and forsake those foolish, to rebuke it, to turn from that, not have any companionship with that. Lord, we thank you for your word and that it's very clear. Help us to do these things through your power of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.